We're still in our series called You Asked For It. I started soliciting topics, for those who are new, topics in August. People say, hey, just send in your questions and I'll preach a message on it. And we kind of got into a section on why I know, because people started asking, you know, getting asked questions at work and then getting confronted on the job about things. So in this series, we've talked about a lot of different things. Just a few weeks ago, we talked about how do you talk about God? How do you explain God outside of the Bible? How do you use other things to prove the existence of God? We talked about a few weeks ago, how do you talk about the Trinity? How is God the Trinity? How is God a Trinity? And then another one was the deity of Christ. How do you, there's so many different groups out there that don't teach that Jesus is actually God, a very God. He's not another God. There's one God in a compound singularity with three persons in one God. We live in a trinity of trinities. The whole universe is an expression of the one Trinitarian God, the Trinity God who made it all. Anyway, we've had a lot of fun with it. And then last week was Why I Know the Devil Exists. And that was, I don't know if you had fun, but I had fun with it. And then tonight, one of the questions was, well, okay, all right. I visited my family over Thanksgiving, and the preacher, he wasn't sure hell really existed. And I'm like, okay, but you believe in heaven, right? He believed in heaven, yeah. He believed in angels, right? Yeah. Okay, but he don't believe in... Okay, if you're going to believe in part of the Bible, why not believe in the whole Bible? That's another sermon we did the other day was, how do I know I have all the right books? I had a question from somebody back in Illinois that watches regularly online. I went to a funeral and they quoted out of a book from the Apocrypha. And I why isn't that book in the Bible? Why isn't this? Why isn't that? You know, and how do I know I have all the books? And how do I know it's been correctly preserved and these kinds of things? And so I was able to, I preached on that. So tonight, how do I know that hell's real? Take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 16 and verse number 19. And of course, you asked for it. So, Luke chapter 19 or 16 and verse 19, and we'll follow along with me tonight. In Luke 16, 19, there was a certain rich man. Now, stop right there. Every time Jesus is teaching a parable, he says, "Listen to the parable of." When he's telling you a story about somebody, a literal story, he doesn't say parable. When he tells this parable, he says, listen to the parable of, or let me explain the parable of. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass when the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify of them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one of them went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us pray. Father, we love you, and tonight, God, help us in our hearts settle the truth of this issue, not only of this issue, but in all issues based on the fact that the Bible is true. And Father, because you promised you'd preserve it. And the word is true because it's preserved the way you said it would be. And Father, tonight, we love you, and we thank you, God, that you've loved us and sent your Son for us. Now, Father, tonight, strengthen our faith. Grow us tonight. Give us the ability to share the truth with our friends and neighbors, our family and coworkers. God, that we might see a harvest of souls for Thee, for Thy glory, in Christ's name. Amen. There's a lot of debate on the topic of hell. I mean, a lot of people do believe in heaven and the angels, but they struggle with the concept of a real devil and a real hell. And to believe in hell necessitates an absolute moral standard. Have you noticed that the world around us really chokes on the concept of an absolute moral standard? Is that just me and Brother Antonio? I mean, there is such a thing as absolute truth. Right? There is. Take your Bible, go to Isaiah 8 and verse 20. I want you to see something now. Look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. One of the concepts you need to grasp is either God is or He isn't. He either is God or He isn't. Well, what do you mean? Look, if He's God, which means He's bigger than the creation He made and more powerful than the creation He made, then it stands to reason He understands English better than I do. Right? He understands languages better than I do. Right? I mean, come on now. Isn't He the one that created languages? Isn't He the one? I mean, when you start thinking about it for a second, is He able to give us His word? Yes. In Psalms 12, He said He'd preserve it forever, that every generation would have it. We saw this several weeks ago. Now, is God able to fulfill His promise or not? Yes, then it's here. Then we have it. Now, in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, talking about this right here, look at it, it is because there's no light in them. Everything is to be compared to the Bible. And that's why you can't just set aside your doctrinal differences for the sake of unity. Because there is no unity without unity based on truth. Absolute truth, which is the Scripture, is the basis of all unity. So God said, compare everything to the Bible. And if it doesn't compare to the Bible, throw it away. So if the Bible's correct about heaven, and I pray it is, right, Brother Mike? Right? I don't know what Streets of Gold is like, but I bet you it's awesome. You know, the Bible says heaven is a place of the fullness of joy. I don't know what that's like. I've been to Disneyland, right? I've been to Disneyland. Y'all been to Disneyland? Did you go on the Gold Pass where everything's paid for and you can just, you know, eat what you want, go where you want? Man, you know, it sounded like heaven, but we still went home hot, tired, and dirty, right? But you know what I'm saying? So, but you know, we had this idea in our mind of what Disney was going to be like. That every bed was going to be like sleeping on a cloud. And all the food was going to be like manna, right? And we were going to be just overjoyed, and it was going to be great. And we had this idea in our mind. And even though it was good, and we did have a great time, and I'm glad we went, there was still room for, it could have been a little better, right? Because we all went back to the hotel hot, dirty, and tired, right? Okay, it wasn't the exact overflowing fullness of joy, but it was joyful. We had a good time. But there was always just, you know, the hot dogs were, you know, a little shorter than I thought they'd be. The churros could have been a little bigger than I thought. You know what I'm saying? And the drinks were big, but they you know, it's good, right? But yeah. Heaven says, Bible says that heaven is the fullness of joy. And I am banking on the fact that that's what it is. That it is better. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9 that eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man. That's my imagination, by the way. That I've never heard of anything or seen anything, or I can't even imagine anything as good as heaven. For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man that which God hath prepared for them who love Him. That is beyond anything I can even imagine. And I love that part of the Bible. I don't know about you, but when I read about heaven, I'm excited, right? And I don't have a problem believing that part of the Bible. I mean, we cross stitch that on pillows and on throw blankets, and we get them on little pictures and little knickknacks. Why we even put them on Christmas tree ornaments, and we decorate our houses with little sayings from the Bible about how awesome, you know, God and His stuff is. And those are the parts of the Bible we like. But it stands to reason, if those parts are true, then the other parts are too. That's the inconvenient truth of it all. So the question you have to ask yourself, are you saved? Yes or no? 1, 2, 3, are you saved? Yes. Yes, no, okay. Then ask yourself, what was I saved from? The word saved means delivered. What were you delivered from? You were delivered from the penalty of your sin. See, God is holy. 100% completely one perfect, perfect holiness. In the fact that the beasts that surround the thrones could only say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's it. So when we sin, and we have, all of us have sinned. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin. Therefore death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So when we sin, and we've all sinned, we're born sinners, and we've all sinned not only by being human, but also by volition, by doing it on our own, there's a cost to sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The reason God Himself came to earth to live a perfect life and die in our place is because nothing else would satisfy the holiness of God. Nothing else would satisfy the debt of sin, mankind, especially John Mix. The debt John Mix had. That's why He Himself, only He in His holiness, could satisfy my sinfulness. And see, when you and I die, we exit this body. This body leaves this, our soul and our spirit leave this body like coming out of a suit of clothes. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6, the Bible says, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That when you die, it's immediate. This, your soul and your spirit, you will leave this physical body. Because in this physical body, we experience physical things. We see things, we smell things, we hear things, we taste things. But when you die, you're in a spiritual body. You're able to comprehend spiritual things. You're going to see things differently. You're going to be able to see all that which you cannot see now. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, you want to go toward God and heaven, but if you've never repented and trusted Christ as your Savior, you know, I talk to a lot of people out on the street, and they're like, you know, maybe I'll get to that later, or, you know, maybe when I'm older. The Bible says that the angels carried Lazarus to heaven. The scary part is the those who don't know Christ as their Savior, it's as if the demons drag them to hell. While you can still see the opportunity, there's still hope. For your friends and family who you're going to visit this Christmas, there's still hope. The Bible says where there's life, there's hope. Imagine being lost. Imagine you and I who know Christ as our Savior. Imagine what it would be like to die being lost, to exit your body And now being able to see the spirit realm, being able to see all that which is around us right now, but you and I cannot see it because we're in a physical body. But now outside of our physical body, we can now see and we can start to see heaven afar off, but we cannot move in that direction because we're lost. We're separated from God and we start to move away. And even though we cannot see the wonders of heaven, we can't move toward it. It starts to disappear slowly as we move toward hell. In John 3:18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You know, before I was saved, people around me, friends and acquaintances I'd made, they tried to make Christianity and salvation seem palatable. They tried to appeal to me with what I would call feature-based evangelism. You know, they would talk about the features of Christianity. Oh, you'll have love and you'll have joy and you'll have peace and you'll have long-suffering and you'll have goodness and meekness and all these good things. And the church services, they would try to sell me on the concept. Boy, if you just come to church, it'd be like, it's like you could have like, it's like daytime TV, you know. We'll talk about your problems and everything, but we'll shy away from talking about your sin and your consequences. Have we forgotten what we were saved from? In Ephesians 2 and verse 1, the Bible says we were spiritually dead. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Separated from God. Romans 3:23, I was a sinner who came short of the glory of God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, I was a servant of sin. I as hard as I tried to turn over a new leaf, it didn't matter. I was always going back to it. In Romans 3:18, I was condemned already. In Romans 6:23, I had a wage. I had a reward for my sin, and it was death and hell. In Romans 3:36, the Bible says, the wrath of God abided upon me. In Romans 20 and verse 15, the Bible said, I was headed for the lake of fire. Now, we don't like to talk about that. But what were we saved from? There's a lot of debate. Many believe the angels, but they struggle with the concept of hell. Dr. Maurice Rawlings wrote a book called Beyond Death's Door. He's an internal medicine and cardiovascular surgeon. He'd resuscitated many people in the emergency room and on the operating table, people who are clinically dead. And Dr. Rawlings was a devout atheist. And in his book, he tells you that he considered Christianity and all religion a bunch of hocus pocus and death nothing more than a painless extinction. But somewhere around 1977, something happened. He was resuscitating a man, and the man woke up screaming. He flatlined, and when he shocked the man woke up and started screaming, I'm in hell, I'm in flames. And he pleaded with Dr. Rollins, don't let me go back. And the man would flatline, and they would start doing CPR again, and they'd shock him. And he'd wake up and he'd scream and he'd have this expression of sheer terror on his face. And Dr. Rollins writes, his pupils were dilated. He was perspiring. He was trembling. The hair on his arms was standing up on end. And still another thing, he screamed, don't you understand? I'm in hell. Don't let me go back to hell. And he said, I've never seen panic on a face of a person like that. No one who heard his screams could believe this man was anywhere but in hell. When's the last time you heard a message on hell? On the fact that it's literal and it's real. Jesus taught more about hell than he did heaven. There's actually 162 references in the New Testament alone where Jesus warns you about hell. 70 of those references he directly uttered to the crowd. The Bible teaches it. Luke chapter 16, of course, you just read through the rich man and Lazarus. It says that it's a literal place where they're conscious and they experience punishment. It teaches in Luke 16, 24, it's a place of torment and flames. Matthew 13, 42, it's like a furnace of fire. In Matthew 25, 41, Jesus called it everlasting fire. In Mark 9, 43, it's fire that will not be quenched. In Revelation 20 and verse 15, it's the lake of fire. Now, the Bible tells us where hell is. In Proverbs 9:18, it's referred to as the depths of hell. In Proverbs 15:24, it's called hell beneath. In Isaiah 14:9-15, it's brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. In Acts 2:31, Peter is quoting Psalm 16, and he's speaking of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was in hell. In Matthew 12 and verse 40, Jesus said, "For as Jonas," speaking of Jonah, the prophet, "was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Where's the heart of the earth? Thank you, Ronnie. 3,960 miles directly below your feet. I don't know if I believe that. Okay, then Jesus lied. We can all quit and go home. Let's get down to the Golden Corral and let's eat. What are we doing? Why are we wasting time? I mean, if Jesus isn't right about where hell is, then he's not right about anything. Well, maybe it's the interpretation. Oh, we've already covered that, boys and girls. We have the Bible, and it's corrected. And it's correct. Well, it's a copy of a copy of a copy, preacher. God said he'd preserve it. Psalm 12 and verse 8. Now, either he lied or he said it truthfully. So if God is right that he preserved it, and if God can't preserve his own word like he said he would, then he isn't God anymore. And we're wasting our time. Let's get down to the restaurant and have coffee. Then religion is a bunch of bunk. Now, either God is or he isn't. You see how it's all tied together? See, the problem is we want to be like the snowflakes on this issue. We want to go through life and stop our ears and go, "I don't want to think negative thoughts. I don't want to think about bad things." Well, what were you saved from? You were saved from a place where you were separated from God, where you would be eternally punished, because that was the only thing that would satisfy the perfect holiness of God. Because our sin is truly that bad. Now, you may not believe that about yourself, but it's true. Because God, the more you understand about God's holiness, the more you understand about your sinfulness. On page 85 of Dr. Alling's book, he said that the people he would resuscitate said that it seemed like they were underground, a place within the earth. In Ephesians 4:9, the Bible says, "Now he that ascended," that's talking about Jesus, he said he first descended into the lower parts of the earth. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians 4:9. Where's the lower parts of the earth? You talking about Antarctica? Is that hell? That's low down on the map. Is that the low part he's talking about? Isaiah 14:15 talks about the pit. Ezekiel 32 talks about the pit. Revelation 9:2 talks about the bottomless pit. Henry Morris, in his book, The Bible Has the Answer, page 220, says, so far as we can tell from Scripture, the present hell is somewhere in the heart of the earth itself. In the book, Dr. Henry Morris says, you realize that the pit of hell would only need to be 100 miles in diameter to contain the 40 billion or so people who have lived and died, assuming their spiritual body is the same size as their physical body. They'd all fit in the same space. Do you realize that in the Birmingham News wrote an article that the Earth's center is hotter than the sun? The Earth's inner core has a temperature of 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. That's April 10th, 1987. That's when that article came out. And in Numbers 16 and verse 32, at the rebellion of Korah, the Bible says, "The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods, and they all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them." Caspar Pucer, 14th century astronomer and physician, researched and documented the volcano eruptions of Hekkafel. And Pucer claimed that all these volcano eruptions He claims as these volcanoes erupted, this is what he wrote, out of the bottomless abyss of Hekafel, or rather out of hell itself, rise melancholy cries and loud wailings so that these can be heard for many miles around. There may be heard in the mountain fearful howlings and weepings. The fearsome noises that issue from some of the volcanoes were certainly thought to be the screams of the souls in the fires of hell. The melting earth, page 73. And how many of you heard of the 1970, the over in Siberia, they tried to drill through the earth's crust. Did you hear about that? You saw that on the Discovery Channel? Did you guys see that? You ought to look that up. That's pretty cool. Dr. Azkov said they got down about 7.5 miles, and then the drill suddenly spun wildly, and the temperature spiked. They lowered a microphone designed to detect the sounds of plate movements, but instead they heard what sounded like human voices screaming in pain. And at first they thought the sound was coming from their equipment. But when they made the adjustments, our worst suspicions were confirmed, and the screams of those what sounded like millions of humans came out. It's a hoax, it's a hoax, it's a hoax. I can find you 100 websites that says that's a hoax. Fine. Fine. If that's what helps you sleep tonight, maybe it is. I don't know. But what do you think 40 billion screaming souls sound like? It's a hoax, preacher, it's a hoax. I can't believe you brought that into church. Oh my gosh, what brought me to a crazy church like this? Go back to your double pane insulated house where you can hide from the truth of your scripture. But when Jesus said, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on them." The night I got saved, as I paced the floor of that little honeymoon apartment, and I was trying to find a way to bargain with God to where I didn't actually have to get saved, because I'm thinking to myself, I don't want to admit my wife's right. I didn't want to admit that the Bible's true. I didn't want to admit to any of it because I was afraid I was going to have to give up something. I was afraid I was going to have to give up my pride. I thought I was going to have to give up, I don't know, what I thought was fun in life. And the Lord said, "You're an idiot. You're going to burn in hell. Because you're too proud to admit your wife's right." And the truth is, I was going to burn in hell because I was too proud to admit God's right. Why do I believe hell's real? Well, Moses said hell was real. The apostles said hell was real. The prophets said hell was real. And Jesus, my Lord, said hell's real. That's why I believe hell's real. The Bible teaches not only hell is for real and that hell is on fire, the Bible also teaches that hell is forever. This rich man didn't ask to get out. But the scariest thought is you are forever out of the mind of God. I want you to think back to your earliest memories for a second. If you close your eyes and think, do you remember who your best friend was in kindergarten? Think back for a second. Think of their face. Do you remember their name? Do you remember their face? Do you remember the schoolhouse you went to? Remember the schoolhouse? Okay, that's a memory. Do you remember the schoolhouse? Do you remember? Do they have schools up there in New York? I'm just kidding. Seriously, do you remember? How long has it been since you thought of that? You have not regarded that in a long time. The Bible says in Lamentations 4:16 that God regardeth them no more. They will never again come into the mind of God or the memory of God, as they are tormented and burned for eternity, yet never consumed. Why? Because it takes infinite punishment for eternity to pay for the sin against an infinitely holy God. And they'll never be remembered again. And the Bible says in Revelation 14, 11, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. The Bible warns that it's eternity, that it's permanent. Everlasting fire, Matthew 18, 8. Everlasting punishment, Matthew 25, 46. Everlasting chains, Jude 1, 6. Everlasting damnation, Mark 3, 29. Everlasting judgment, Hebrews 6, 2. Everlasting fire, Jude 1, 7. Unquenchable fire, Matthew 3, 12. Matthew 9, 43. In the midst of darkness, reserved forever, 2 Peter 2 and verse 17. Oh my gosh, how did you ever walk into a church like this? Because I'm not afraid to tell you that you're going to be around people tomorrow, that this is their eternal destiny if somebody doesn't care. You see, you're here today because somebody cared more about your soul than they did being uncomfortable in a conversation with you. It gets uncomfortable sometimes in a car when you're alone with a coworker or a friend or family. You can be uncomfortable at Christmas when you're just alone with your sister or brother or cousin and you're sitting there while everything else is going on and you start to talk to them about the Lord and what the Lord's done in your life, hoping to lead the conversation into what God's done for you and what God could do for them. And you're trying to keep it positive, but you're doing it because you know what's directly below your feet is their destiny. Don't be afraid. Because the Bible says you can't get them saved till they first understand they're lost. You know, I've searched the Bible from cover to cover. I've looked up every instance on hell, and there's not one word of hope for those in hell. So hell is for real. Hell is on fire, and hell is forever. No wonder Jesus warned so much about hell. You know, Jesus took it so importantly. He said, if your hand is keeping you out of heaven, you ought to cut it off. If your eye is keeping you out of heaven, you ought to pluck it out. Better to walk into heaven missing a hand than go into hell with both hands. Or miss an eye going into heaven. In Mark 8, he says, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what is it we are saved from? We're saved from being separated from God. 2 Samuel 22 says, we're saved from the sorrows of hell. Psalm 116 and verse 3 says, we're saved from the pains of hell and the troubles of sorrow. Luke 16 says, we're saved from the torments of hell. You see, hell was never designed for us. Hell was designed for the devil and his angels. That's what Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 41. Oh, by the way, did I mention the worms? In Mark 9 and verse 46, Jesus says about hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And it's interesting, he says their worm, not a worm. You know, the earth's crust is about 50 miles thick, and some places in the ocean floor, there's hot water vents where the crust's about a mile thick, and scientists have discovered that there's cracks where fire leaks out of the bottom of the ocean floor, and coming out, you know what lives down there? Gigantic Riftia, these 8-foot tube worms live in water that would burn you to death, and they're only found near these deep sea vents. The water's so hot it'd cook you. Jesus said, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. You got a picture of that up there, Phil? Is that what that is? I see up there. It's blue.
No, it's just a book cover.
Okay. It's interesting. It says in Isaiah 66, 24, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcass of men that have transgressed me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. The worms will eat on you, and you will not be consumed. Their worm dieth not, and their fire is not quenched. You know, the world wants to deny the reality of hell, but the truth of hell echoes throughout the world. We can desperately pretend to cover our ears and ignore the screams, the weeping, and the wailing, but it's there. We can try to refuse the idea that it exists, but it's there. And nothing we do or say can erase the horrors of it. In Revelation 14:10, the Bible says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and they shall be tormented with fire and brimstone." Do you know what brimstone is? Liquid sulfur. Do you know where liquid sulfur and brimstone is found? Inside the earth. According to the book Volcanoes by Pierre Kohler, page 43, when Mount St. Helens erupted in 1980, 150,000 tons of sulfur was ejected. In Job 18, the oldest book of the Bible, some 3,000 years ago, Job wrote that inside the earth was brimstone. It is, in that book by Pierre Kohler, he also writes that volcanoes may be more like hell than anyone realized. Eruptions disgorge streams of molten sulfur, the brimstone of evangelical preachers, which burns up before it can be preserved for posterity. It's in the Nature Science, July 22nd, 2002 edition. Is it humanly possible to comprehend the description of hell? Man, I don't think anything compares to it. Nothing on earth can compare. No nightmare can produce the terror that matches hell. No horror movie can describe its fright. No crime scene with its blood and gore can match its horror. And it's beyond human imagination. The wicked shall be turned into hell, Psalm 9:17 says. They will see hell. They will smell hell. They'll breathe hell. They'll hear hell. They'll feel hell. Matthew 8 says they'll be weeping. Matthew 13 says wailing. Matthew 25 says it's darkness. Luke 16 says it's flames. Isaiah 33 says it's burning. Luke 16 says torments. Matthew 25 says everlasting fire. What were you saved from? What were you saved from? Bad fashion? Bad thoughts? Negativity? Jesus Christ took it so seriously. I can't imagine what it would be like. But he said, Paul, I think the writer of Hebrews is Paul, but that's a debate for another time. Hebrews 9:27 says, "As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It's appointed unto men once to die. That means one day you will die. The death rate is still 1-to-1. Nobody gets out of this life alive. And hell, he lifted up his eyes. That's what it said about the rich man. Can you imagine as you leave your body, you realize something's happening? You start to hear a sound getting louder and louder. Screams. Terror begins to fill your heart and it overtakes you. You think, can this be happening? And your nostrils fill with the awful stench of burning flesh. Your face ignites with the heat. Your flames are now blazing from your eyes and your nose and your ears. Your body starts to sizzle and crack with the flames. You begin to thrash and convulse. And you think to yourself, why don't I die? And you weep. And your teeth gnash with the billions. When will the pain stop? But it won't stop. The darkness is so terrifying as it engulfs you. You can't imagine what happens next as the worm emerges and begins to feed on you. And you think, oh God, why didn't you warn me? But then you remembered somebody dragged you to a church and the preacher pled with you. But your phone was more interesting. You remember a gospel tract on your front door saying, please, trust Christ. And you cry, God, don't you care? But you remember a little verse from Sunday school. For God so loved the world that he gave. Yeah, but God is love, and God wouldn't allow this. But you remember, he that believeth on the Son hath life, but he that believeth not shall not see life. And you realize that Jesus Christ was right. This is the place called hell, and you're there. Yes, God is love, but he's also holy. And because God is holy, sin must be condemned. Joshua 24:19, Joshua says, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's jealous. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. But I've got good news. God does not want you in hell. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Because hell wasn't made for man. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us. He displayed it. He showed us. He conferred it to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, I don't believe a loving God would send anyone to hell. Well, we choose it. He's done everything necessary for him to be able to forgive and to freely give eternal life. It cost us nothing. But when we say no, our sins will either be paid for in hell or pardoned on the cross. See, God left the decision to us. In Joshua 24:15, it says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Moses cried in Exodus 32:26, who's on the Lord's side? See, it's a choice. Dr. Rawlings watched thousands of people depart into eternity. Most of them thought they were going to sneak into heaven when God wasn't looking. Jesus Christ gave the warning in Matthew 7. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, if it was tolerable for a few days, that'd be different. If it was tolerable for a few years, that'd be different. But you will ever despair of having deliverance. And you'll beg for death and curse the day you're born. What could possibly be worth going to hell for eternity? Whatever reason you decide is more important than trusting Christ. There is a place called hell. It is directly below our feet. Do you realize that 105 people die every minute on the planet? Roughly, give or take. I'm not a math whiz, but we've been in here now for, holy cow, it's after 6. We've been in here now 71 minutes. Do the math. How many is that? That's a lot of people that stepped out into eternity. That the decision, they died. And automobile accidents, heart attacks, strokes. One thing is certain. It's appointed unto man once to die. And then the judgment. I once saw T-shirts that said, don't be caught dead without Jesus. I've made some terrible mistakes in my life, but that isn't one of them. Maybe there's some things you would give anything to be able to change in your life. I'm sure there's a lot of regrets. But has there ever been a time when you placed your trust and faith in Christ? Nothing is worth taking that chance of dying without Christ. You must realize, if you've never trusted him, you got to realize you're a sinner. You got to realize he took your sin upon himself on the cross. And God wants you to trust him, but he's not going to make you. You have to believe. You have to appropriate that for yourself. You have to turn from your sin and agree with God that you're a sinner and ask him to forgive you and save you because you believe he died in your place. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you'd like to be saved, it's just a simple prayer like I prayed this morning. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and unless you save me, I'm lost forever. I thank you for dying for me. I come to you now the best way I know how, believing you died for me, that your blood paid for my sin. I believe. Now you're saved, you know it. I think one of the scariest thoughts is for us as Christians is the fact that there are people in hell tonight who are crying like this rich man. In Luke 16, if you'll turn there quickly, verse number 27. The rich man says, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him. Send Lazarus. If I can't go, send Lazarus unto my father's house. Look at this. For I have five brethren, that he may testify of them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith, what does that mean? That means nobody in hell wants their family to go there. Nobody in hell tonight wants their family there. Aleister Crowley, the idiot Satanist, on his deathbed, shouted, oh Lord, what have I done? I was a fool. Yeah. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. They got the Bible. Is that what you think? Well, they got the Bible. They've got free internet. They can... Verse 30, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. Verse 31, he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Jesus Christ is the only one that's ever risen from the dead. The world knows it. They're still not saved. Tonight, those in hell are crying for people like us who know the truth, who are still on the top side of the dirt with the knowledge of the truth, are praying in hell there tonight. They're crying out. If possible, we would go to their family and give them the gospel. No one in hell wants their family to go there. We are the hope for those in hell that their family could be saved. We are a dead man's missionary. We are the hope. The only hope those in hell have of their family missing hell. And the question we need to ask ourselves is, at the great white throne judgment, the only respite those in hell will get is when they stand before God at the great white, and for that brief second when the books are opened and they're judged according to their works, my fear is, will they turn around and see my face in the crowd, in the balcony, among the redeemed, and shout my name and scream, why did you never tell me? We worked together for 20 years. We lived next door to each other. Why did you never tell me? You were my cousin. You were my uncle. You were my family member. You were my brother or my sister. I knew you since we were in school. We went to college together. We worked in the same office. Why did you never tell me? The Bible says that after the great white throne judgment, that you and I will be weeping so terribly by what we see. It's a clearly beautiful sentiment that there's no tears in heaven, but that's a lie. The Bible says in the book of the Revelation that God will have to wipe away our tears three separate times because of what we see happen to those on this planet during the judgments. The last one being the great white. As everyone who did not hear the gospel or would not believe, is thrown into the lake of fire. And that's just a cold, hard truth. And you and I will be the ones that he will have to wipe away our tears to stop our weeping. We are the only hope those in hell have of seeing their family saved. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Hell is for real. Hell is on fire, hell is forever, and hell is directly below our feet. Our heavenly gracious Father, we love you. And I'm thankful that someone was willing to be uncomfortable and bring me the gospel. I'm thankful that someone was willing to be put out, literally, go out of their way, 20 plus miles out of their way, to come and bring the gospel to my little apartment. I'm thankful, Father, that people were in my life bringing the gospel to me. willing to risk our friendship to tell me the truth. I pray, God, tonight that you would give us courage to have that kind of boldness, that kind of love for lost people, that we would have that kind of compassion upon those who don't know you. And God, tonight, that you would give us a burden that cannot be quenched by entertainment, that cannot be quenched by anything but truth. Please, God, tonight, speak to our hearts tonight. Bring to mind some people in each one of our lives that we can take the gospel to this week. Speak to us, God, and we'll respond in Jesus' name. Amen. As she begins to play and to sing, this is your opportunity to talk to the Lord. This is your opportunity to receive an assignment. This is your opportunity to talk to God about the souls of those you care about before you go talk to the souls you care about God. Won't you take this time right now?
Savior, I come. Quiet my soul. Remember. Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled. For my ransom, everything I once held dear, I count it all as loss. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees, Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself, I belong to you. Oh, lead me. Lead me to the cross.
Clothe people, we can feed them, we can do all kinds of social programs. That's good.
Tempted and tried.
And we can make sure they go to bed in a warm, safe place. That's good. Having eaten, educated, and clothed, but
the word became
flesh, if we don't ever tell them about heaven and the Savior that loves them,
sin and death,
they'll spend an eternity
now
in hell. Seems like a waste, doesn't it? Seems like futility. Our Father and our God, thank you, God, for the truth of your word. Help us, Father, to please write it upon our hearts and to take it seriously. Father, for our souls hang in the balance, we love you, God, that someone took it seriously for us and brought it to us. And God, thank you for salvation that is free. Thank you, God, for salvation because you loved us. And God, we just love you. In Jesus' name, amen. This week, Wednesday.